Yep.
Yes, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. The mayor advised the meeting of members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on the council's website. While masks are not mandatory, we are encouraged to wear masks for extra protection in a public role. I had I've been in contact with the EHR and it is best that we do wear masks for yourselves and anyone else around you. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and their name and Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Both present is Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Orr, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell, obviously myself. We've got Acting General Manager Adam and Janet Speaker Minutes. Today we've got a pretty big agenda, especially in the closed session. And then we've got deputations as well. So we'll keep rolling pretty well as best we can. The one thing to be respectful to each other, I do remind you of that. And with motions, once moved and seconded, the chair will ask councillors whether they are for or against. The chair will also ask councillors if they wish to speak to a motion. Apologies. Now, Councillor Bowden just spoke to me a moment ago. He was hoping to make it this morning, but unfortunately he's just not well enough. So he will speak with me in the near future about whether or not he needs more absence, leave of absence.
Yes.
Currently he still has leave of absence, this meeting. Mm-hmm. So, it's difficult for him, and as I said, Council certainly
hope
things will work
out for him. Excuse me, Mayor, we should give him anyway.
Pardon?
We should give him more if he wants it anyway.
Of course, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll have an idea next meeting. Pecuniary interest declaration. In accordance with Regulation 7 of the Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item on the agenda. Okay, is there any conflict, pecuniary? No, none. Okay. Closed session. Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015 states that at a meeting, a council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may close part of the meeting to the public for a reason specified in sub-regulation 2 as per Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015. This motion requires an absolute majority. Councillor Campbell moved?
Yes.
Second place, Councillor Bailey. Four. Against, that is carried. So we'll move into the closed agenda. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those in the gallery. We have some deputations today. We have Suzanne Curry from Hobart Legacy. We have Will Bignell from Vauxhall Public Nobia. We have Terry Bayard, Anglers Alliance. And we have Yvonne Miller, Hall of Industries, Hamilton. So first of all, due to COVID, normally a limit of four members of the public at any one time. We do have masks available if you would like to collect one at the desk. It is not mandatory, but we do wear them in as speak for others. So first of all, I would like to invite Suzanne Curry over at Legacy to speak. Suzanne? Welcome, Paul. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk to council and to other people who are present. Our purpose being here today is to inform you that next year will be the centenary of Legacy in Australia. And why it's so important for this area is that one of the co-founders of Legacy, Major General Sir John Gillibrand, was born in Leeds. And part of the celebration of our centenary next year will hopefully involve this area, this community, simply because it's the wonderful opportunity to recognise the work of Billy Brand and the work of Legacy. And in fact, when I look at your waffle bowl, I wonder if I can understand the huge sacrifice that was made by people from the Central Midlands area and certainly from Tasmania as a whole. One of the important national programs that is being run, and Hobart Legacy has encouraged this program, is to develop a plan, a Gumbilia Legacy plan to recognise the sacrifice of our soldiers and also particularly to recognise the huge sacrifice made by the families of those soldiers that have been left behind, carry the heavy load, to look after their children and to keep the economy moving without their loved one. Now, Suzanne has developed this marvellous program for the Gumbilia Flame Plan, and I'd like to ask Suzanne to talk about that. But it is a national program. We've been talking to councils in the Greater Hobart area and receiving pledges for this particular plan. We hope to use the plan to help commemorate and celebrate the centenary of Legacy next year. And after that, we would want to use the plans to be donated to our Legacy relays, those who are taken. As I say, a national program. We're contacting Legacy clubs throughout Australia and certainly councils throughout Australia to see if they're happy to embrace this concept, particularly around the various memorials in the country areas and cities that exist. We would like to think that we might be able to put these Legacy flame really plants in proximity or around those sort of memorials as a permanent reminder of the sacrifice and particularly as a recognition of the families that have been left behind. So we believe it's a very important program. I'd like to ask Suzanne if she's happy to just talk a little bit more about this plan and what it means and whether we might be able to interest the council to be involved. But just for Suzanne, more particularly, the other big national program that I need to mention is a torch relay, a Legacy torch relay. There's an embargo on too much information about this at the moment because there's going to be a public launch at the Shine of Remembrance on the 20th of this month. But I can tell you that the plan is for the torch relay to commence in Wazir on Anzac Day next year, and it's going to visit the various areas, Legacy Club areas throughout Australia. It will come to Ooze, because that's the birthplace of Sir John Gillibrand. The timing is expected to be around about late August or early September next year. And so the Legacy Flame in Virginia, we hope will be form part of the celebrations and commemorations for when this relay arrives in Ooze. What I would really like the council to think about and embrace is the sort of activities we might be able to bring to bear in the community to recognise Gillibrand and to recognise the centenary of Legacy. I think a lot of you will probably be aware that there is already some information in the church it is regarding St John. And this is a wonderful opportunity to showcase the district, to showcase the area, and particularly to showcase the role that St John Gillibrand played and the role of legacy in looking after the families. So, pass to Suzanne.
There's not too much more I can tell you, really. There is a lot to find up in New South Wales called Peter Olenshaw from the Wailong Nursery. He's well known for developing new cultivars of the various emporias. So this plant specifically reaches a small, robust, long flowering, and the flame is representative of the flame of legacy, of the flowering of the vivia. Westland Nursery is at 7 Mile Beach for wholesalers for Tasmania. The wholesale price we've negotiated for council is $11.60. $80 of that goes to legacy, back to legacy to the state it's in, and the 70 cents goes to the plant breeders back to Wailong. We're lucky that we've got the plants already here in Tasmania because we've been trialling them. They're doing extremely well. I think they will tolerate being up here in this plant hiding zone. So we encourage Grand Cobar has pledged about $32,500 worth of plants over 2 financial years. We're encouraging them to do that. We're working with Molly and I'm now working around Australia. So there's significant places in Australia Memorial and all the particular places where the legacy torch is significant. For example, when it leaves London will be coming through on the Defence Force. The Defence Force is helping getting this legacy plant around Australia. And Perth in Western Australia, for example, is the place where ship will arrive, so obviously Perth is very significant. And yes, booze is extremely significant to this, so I hope you'll come on board. We have a meeting with Doug Burnett. You're the Minister of Protection for Perth. He's extremely interested in this, and he's extremely interested in supporting you, so I'd encourage you to talk to him. Most of the commemorative activities outside of the torch that are happening in March 2023 because that's when Hobart was founded. So Victoria and Tasmania, the two states have founded this in March 2023. So there'll be a community service to take that as the people. There will be hopefully going in Australia will do a television launch of the media from Hobart Centre. What else is happening? Quite a few things, so it'd be nice to get a time with that, but possibly better to tie in with your torch relay coming through. So have you got any questions on the actual video?
Yes, well, a couple of things there, Suzanne. One, we have our own nursery in Hamilton as well, which would be probably beneficial to get a feed with as well. And what are you exactly asking from council? I wasn't quite clear on what you're asking.
Well, the information sent to you, I was suggesting 500 plants over 2 financial years. That's what we've asked of council for 2023, 2024 financial years. And that's the suggestion we're making to council. That's really up to you what you want to do with that. A lot of the councils are going to be planting them not necessarily just in the commemorative area, but using them. It's a small plant that only grows 2 per square metre, so you can put them around car parks and wherever you might like them. They're very hard to plant. Very unstoried, great unstoried plant.
So we've got a short time. Is there any questions councils have at the moment? We will discuss further later. Is there any? No? Any good? All right, well, we shall keep in touch, Suzanne, and thank you so much for coming up. Thank you.
If you want to go, I would encourage you if you want me to get on the phone by next minute and later.
Oh, yes, we see a fair bit of time.
I'm sure you
do. We do. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I think we have sent you all the information for the council to have a look at, so I certainly encourage you to understand that. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us, and we are hoping that the organised, you know, that this area, and those in particular, will be front and centre to our celebrations next year. So thanks so much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, where are we? Will. Will Bignall? Welcome, how are you?
Good, thanks.
We just want a bit of an update on the pub and who owns what and where we are, and hopefully we can continue on with our work towards having a bit of a full over rest area.
Yep. It's a bit of a transition ownership going on at the moment. Is transferring to my position. I suppose the challenge we've got is it's our major stock route, so access 1,000 hectares of a farm, there's 3,000 sheep behind that through the laneway as their principal road crossing point. So it's access at all hours of the day, sometimes evening, sometimes in the morning, every night.
Yep.
What we want from there, basically, we don't really want to be classified as a rest area for people coming into the township and rest in the town, spend some money, use the beautiful park, amenities. Realistically, all we want are some chairs, somewhere to sit, maybe share a furnace or something, but we don't really want tables. If you imagine being a Sunday morning, we're there trying to get 2,000 sheep through, and there's a car park apart from there or something, or whatnot as it was. You know, we had a fisherman in there with his boat, back across the road, urinating, throwing rubbish out. You know, my wife was going to throw a bag of rubbish out, and then off they go. He's getting littered in dog feces. We've had a gate latch thrown into the bushes a few times now, so there's a bit of contempt. That's on a trail camera, unfortunately, it is a local member of the community doing it consistently. So we will have to work that on. We have gates open at both ends and left open on us as well. So for example, Saturday afternoon I lost 2,000 sheep down to the tip. So all that sort of stuff isn't on and it's frustrating. So what we do, we really want, it's a piece of cultural heritage for Bothell of significance. We want to preserve that. Contextually, it has to stay where it is, I think, can't be moved. And it's quite an emotive topic in the community, as witnessed on Facebook regularly. We think we would prefer a monument sign. So signage needs to improve that it's there. So of course saying a couple of beer, the brown one for white writing with a camera logo as a rest area, but it's just a historic monument, we can have a look. There's a lot of people probably are missing it now. And then at the pub we think some signage, such as interpretation signage, is critical to emphasise it's private land, managed by the council, the history of Brockton doing it all, treat it with respect. This is right now. Unfortunately, we had to deal with the last point denominator, who is currently using it, so wouldn't be a dog reason, usually think many people would come up and sit there and, sit there and have their lunch in the car or something. That's what it's all about, and assembling funeral processions and all that sort of stuff. So we don't want to leave that. We need to fence it off slightly to ease the stock movement. The big thing, whatever's built there, we don't want toilets or anything like that, or tables. We just want a couple of chairs so people can sit, reflect, chat, stretch their legs. We've got a person preferred to come to town, use the toilets, use the different park and all that. Father and Uncle Peter were all on the same page with that. I think emphasising to them is a soft route.
Thank you.
Signage is critical.
So you're still supportive, with an interpretation information board.
Yeah.
And what to see in Botswana, and this is a good one that we're using for the bicentennial.
Yeah.
And I think that would be perfect to use again.
Yeah.
Of where to go into at Bothell. The other thing was with the chairs, we were talking before about strong memorial seats. Are you agreeable to that?
Yeah. We just don't want tables and chairs and making it a focal point where people stop and stay. We really want pull over to look at the bucket list, see it, but still retain access for new members to go there. We don't want any social
Cool.
And that sort of stuff that comes with it, but, you know, it's always, when the road went past, I kind of inhibited a bit, but now it's rolling there.
Thank you, Will. Now we'll ask Councillor if they have a question. Councillor Campbell?
Yes, Will. So obviously, before the road was realigned, it was on state road property, is that correct?
Where the road currently goes is the actual old track.
Yep, okay.
You see, if I come across the square, I'd go out to Beniston, hit a bale, across Grassy Park, sort of sneak through there in the township. And so, yeah, there was a track there and Granlett and Bill Corner, which ended up being a river.
Yep.
And then, yeah, so the road really is pretty much where it sits.
Yeah, no, that's all good. Would it be practical to move the current gates back a bit?
No, it's torture. I need to be able to hold the spot.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Right against those gates.
Is it possible for you to put those gates there and council fence in against the pub with no beer so it doesn't get in your way?
No, the problem is this issue. What's hard is, you know, you get vehicles out to get sight lines to cross, to sight, so a line of those fences to the safest I can get them. And the problem is to either get them to go round if they're up against the road, but then the wall will stop back on.
So what's your practical, and obviously you're the one that moves the sheep, you know what you need. What is your request to council that we work with you to get this working for everyone and make it as...
Yeah, I think what's there is probably able to take more sheep coming through.
Yep.
They won't be for violent. But we're just on the corner, the old corner, I think having the fence there, so when I overnight stop there, like tonight, for example, I won't be running the road for a guard if I walk through. Being able to, so I can get them and hold them in the tipping, in that little triangle there, like that's pretty good for me, and then just being able to get them through. It's just, you can hold them to that gate, let it all out, and be considered in the road and open that gate, and that they will, it's not a crochet thing, so that's, they fight pretty hard to get things here on the gates and set that. But yeah, like they'll be open 9 o'clock.
And you're comfortable with them being open most of the time?
Yeah, you know, it's just a case of double box. It's awful when you get the phone call coming in, like gas in the top and the sheep will go around the track and carry all over the road. It's happened 3 times now.
Thank you very much, Will. Oh, sorry, Councillor Archer, and then we'll need to move on.
Well, it's not, there's not an area there that... It's not an area that you could exclude, but basically so you don't have to lock the public access, you can lock the other side of it so that the baddies can't be interfering with your normal operations, but so that access is not a constant hassle to you, that you're not having to go there and lock the gate the whole time. I'd pull my hair out myself. I'm wondering, is there, like a 50 metre fence that you can put up to make it so that you didn't need to lock that public access?
Yeah, well, I've been toying with that building a road, a lane on the eastern side of it. Pure swamp. Once they discovered in the road, it was the worst swamp ever built. But it's interesting, you can't drive it, so you sort of need that road for the upper side of the sandstones. Bringing it around and just having a double set of gaps in a laneway that could hold them against that road or something to do it. But it's so much reverse. I have toyed with it. If I bring them on the roadside, it sucks the stop back around and they go to the road.
So there's not the opportunity to sort of basically have it so it's an open area as it is, and you'd be able to obviously exclude the public when you need to move stock and all those sort of things, but so that you're not having to constantly be monitoring it. And
it's just a critical part. It's not often we go through, but when we are shearing now or crutching, it's just for 5 or 6 days of non-stop. Stop here, stop there, then remain for 2 weeks to a year until you feel. And yeah, that's the main thing that's happening with the shearing shed that across. I think way up how I can do it, but I just can't see how I can fence it off and still not end up making my life hard every single time I'm open to it.
Councillor Cassidy, did you want to speak?
Yes, I have a workable solution. Considering it's Mr. Bignall's property, He has a right to keep his gate closed and locked, and I think he should, to retain his sheep. I suggest that what we do is we just simply put interpretive signage outside the fence line along the road, pointing to the public no beer, saying public no beer, no camping. If you want to put seats, put them beside the signage, but outside the fence and outside the gate. This way he has full access and full rights to his own property.
Thank you. Works and services manager.
Yeah, just to clarify, really, the size of the structure building that we really put today, because since my price off, we all have to install it. So when we're talking about seats, I mean, you just want a bench seat, is that basically sort of what you're talking about?
Yeah, benches at the back. And,
you know, yeah, you can set it at the back, you don't want an actual picnic table.
No.
So it's like you want to see the park or anything.
No.
That's fine. So, and then, in regards to the signs, so it's an information sign off the highway.
I'm sorry, I mean, the stone ones.
Yeah.
That makes you out of the road, but it can give you the sign.
Okay. And then the sign that's actually placed at the monument, that's not an information label. We're not talking about an information label, we're talking about what's in bottle. That's just to talk about the actual.
Yeah, just kind of
public idea. Also, I'd say from the overhead, maybe to my council, on that as well.
To stop really use.
Rubbish bin?
Rubbish
bin. Yeah, that's okay. Oh, that's
a nice sort of pull over in the UD.
Yes, and I think there was one there many years ago, and then I actually council decided to remove it because you'd go up there and have a drink by lunch.
We have the direction to the body as a group.
I think we've missed a whole opportunity with regard to this. It's like the public no beer is sacred where it is. The Historical Society that you discussed the other day and the agreement was that it should be moved. There is no reason why it can't be moved. It should be brought into town and the signage should be put around it to explain what it is, with a map showing where it was. Will can then lock his gates, move his sheep without having any problem with seating or with people in there, with caravans or trucks or rubbish or whatever. But it solves that problem for him. It brings it into town. It means people who are travelling will stop and look at the sign, look at the public over here in town and say, well, let's have a cup of coffee or whatever else. It's going to solve the problem. It's also going to solve the problem with rubbish that's got to be cleaned up by the will or by Tracy's guys. I really think we are missing the point here.
Thank you. All right, well, we'll move on, and thank you so much, Will, for that, and then we'll have further discussion in council.
All right,
thank you very much. Terry Byard, is he here? No, he's not. Terry's not here, so it's Devon. Come on now.
You're getting a map that Ira has put it up as a plan for the new Hall of Home Industries. Plus, we had a talk or meeting with the committee of the show team. I know that Jim said to pull it down, the old one.
Well,
but yes,
substantial
reason. Yeah. We like to keep it
because
the shearers said they'd like it. So it's a shame for the shearers. Yeah, the shearers. So don't ask me, I don't remember. But anyway, they said they wanted it, so that was good. And they thought the Hall of Industry could go further up.
Oh, build a new one. Yeah. Leave the old one. Yeah.
So this is my idea. If you have a look in the centre, it's got partitions, portable partitions, and that means that we can move them around or even pack them away, and you've got a nice big empty hall, 10 feet by 10
metres.
Yeah, yeah. Can be divided by 20 metres, which can be used not only for the hall of industry, but if you have a look on the top of the ideas of usage, in any of the indoor games, volleyball, indoor tennis, badminton, futsal, anyone know what futsal is? It's indoor, so I know. Table tennis, and then we can bring other things into the town of Hamilton, like car shows. We can do swap meetings there. We can do flower shows, home displays, but it's there as a plain building, but we can do so much to bring people in the area. As I said, we've been talking at the last meeting, and they suggested that we put windows on the top to allow natural lighting, so therefore we don't have to have as much, we don't have to have electricity or lights in there. I said a 3 metre high, but if it can be bigger, that would be great. Now, one of the Chris sent me an email saying that there's an agricultural show development grant program, and round two's coming up for 2022-23, and the opening day's to be announced, so maybe that's something we can mention and really get on to, so that, you know, we can get that grant and go from there.
I did point, if you have a look, I've put either rollables or sliding doors, excuse me, on either end of the hall. That's to allow access and airflow through. Whether we get a rollable or whether we get sliding doors at this stage, I suppose it depends on price and depends on what's the better option.
Can I make a suggestion that you work with the show committee and the show committee work hard on finalising a design and that will put a peg on the ground that the show committee wants to go, because it's a federal election coming up and politicians have got big checkbooks. But can I also make another suggestion, and it's just for consideration, do you think there should be a little corner somewhere that you'd have like some storage, you know, or you could make cups of tea while you're there?
Yeah, well, as you see, I've got toilets up there, but it's probably on the other end.
Mayor, I'd just suggest that perhaps your committee, the show committee, come and have a look at the Bothwell Recreation Building to model, see what's working well there, see what they've done, and that would be a good starting point for you guys to come and have a look.
That's
been a great success.
Yeah, that's why we thought the petition's been important, so they can be taken away, they can be put anywhere to block anything on that we can.
Councillor Archer, the youth manager's got a hand up.
Very quickly, Mayor, I just want to suggest that the flood events be taken into consideration in terms of raising the site enough to make it a basically above flood, one in 500-year flood event.
Yes, we were looking at that, talking further up from the core industry.
So we require trust, and we're just putting in new pumps there, and deliberately gone higher than we would normally have done, just to make sure we cover those increased flood year of flood events.
DES manager.
The building we're talking about, is that the old home industry building?
That's the one that we need originally. We kind of asked it to be
made.
But we're looking at building a complete new one, and that then goes to, Shearer's Recreation Building.
Yes, Adam's passed an email to myself that there's a group interested in the old home industry building as to become a chip shop. So we've got... So we're looking at a new building with this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be well, yeah.
Well, we can't make any decisions obviously now, but we're taking on board what everyone is saying, and Ron's very busy in the community, he's doing a wonderful job. You're here, there, everywhere, volunteer, everything. So thank you, Ron, and we will take this all into consideration when discussed.
Okay. I hope that built. That idea that I've put, that plan, I've already seen it at our last meeting. So our next meeting's not until the AGM, which is August.
Okay, all right, well, we'll be in touch and continue on as we go. And it's the same as Graham said, there is some, I think that's on the May agenda actually, about the Hall of Industry building as well.
It'd be a shame to pull it down, because really, it's quite a structure, it's just the outside of the club.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. We think it's just, well, the money we pay to pull it down, it goes with this new one. So that was our idea. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nan Trevor.
Thank you. No problem.
Okay, so we have no more in deputations because Terry's not here, no. Alrighty. 7.1, public question time. Question from Mr. Neil Lockin, is it? Lockin, okay.
Lockin.
Received on the Thursday, the 7th of April. Questions in relation to E13.7.2 buildings and works other than demolition in Central Holland, interim planning for 2015 are as follows. Now, Graham, was you going to speak to this or answer the questions?
Well, whoever is live. Certainly,
it's a planning-related
question that I have a planner sitting down there.
Oh, hello, Louise, is our planner. Have you? A reply. Have you had a chance to reply to these?
I couldn't reply to these questions, ma'am.
Oh, thank you.
So the first question, why are development applications that do not comply with the above section allowed to go ahead when the planning scheme clearly states there is no acceptable solution? So what this refers to is in our planning scheme documents. This is specifically in the Heritage Code buildings and works other than demolition. We have our two columns, the acceptable solution, which would make the development permitted, or the performance criteria, which automatically makes the application discretionary. So there are no acceptable solutions in the Heritage Code because the development is all works is not permitted. It is a discretion. So it's up to the discretion of the council. Okay?
Thank you.
Second question, is there a policy to allow any non-compliant application covered by this section to be approved if there are no objections? So by non-compliant, I'm assuming that this question reworded would be, if a discretionary application is made and there are no representations made, is there a policy that allows that application to be approved? Yes, there is. That is through officer delegation. The difference is if a representation is received on any discretionary application, then it comes to the planning committee for their approval. What is approval?
Okay.
The third question,
I guess with the third question, I guess each planning application or DA is considered on its merits, and considered the information provided by the officers to the councillors. The councillors take that information, and there's also for and against if people come in and want to give their side of the argument, and that information is also taken into consideration by each individual council on the application, and councillors should not form an opinion before the council meeting. They should consider everything that is in front of them, and the arguments that are based around the table, and therefore make a decision at that point in time.
Thank you, Adam. Yes, and as we say, around the table, so many times we can listen to our community, but we are not to state our position and how we will vote. Any other questions? Very good. All right, we'll move on. 8 is bearer commitment. 8.1, councillor commitment. Status report. Councillors. 8.2, general manager's commitment. 8.3, deputy general manager's commitment. Notification of council workshops, none at present. Future workshops, offhand workshop Friday, date to be confirmed. We have a budget workshop. The online signage from online ooze is available to undertake iPad training, providing it's on Friday in Hamilton Hall. Do you want to defer a date until after Easter and Anzac and that? It might be more.
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay, so we'll just defer that until June. Yeah? Council meeting? Anybody? As much as that we have? That was 1-2 is the budget workshop. Now we've got some dates here. Tuesday 26th of April, that's straight up and that day. Or Wednesday the 27th of April, date to be confirmed. So I'll leave it open to councillors and I'll go around the table and start with you, Councillor Campbell. Do you have a preference of dates?
I personally try and keep council things, I'll keep things on a Tuesday, that's the day I try and set aside to do things on council, but either of those dates would suit me.
Okay.
I'm flexible that week.
Okay, Councillor Bailey, do you have a preference of those 2 dates?
Yeah, probably the 27th, I suppose.
Okay, yeah. So we've got 1 Tuesday, 1 Wednesday. Councillor Cassidy, you have a preference?
Well, I agree with Anita. I think Tuesday's a good, however, whether it's the 26th or 27th, I'll end up being late.
So you have Tuesday? I couldn't hear you then, sorry.
Yes, Tuesday 26th.
Yep.
But if it turns out to be Wednesday, either day, I'll end up being late. Okay.
Oh, okay, good.
I need a little bit more advance notice.
Very good.
Tuesday, better than late.
Councillor
Archer.
Tuesday.
Councillor Archer.
Tuesday. And Councillor Orr.
I've got a commitment on Wednesday, so Tuesday.
It looks like Tuesday is the date, so it's the 26th of April.
What time?
We normally have them at Hamilton, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. So it'll be the 26th of April, Tuesday at the Hamilton Hall.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. soon, everyone.
Yep.
10 a.m. Okay, we'll have papers before then, Adam.
Yes.
So please read your papers, make notes and be ready to go because it saves a lot of time sitting around the table when you are prepared. When you have read the notes. Oh, Ted, mayoral announcement. Dr. Meg Ramley, tell me that the Central Highway General Practice just has a name change, that Morton Group basically finished there and she's taken it over. So she's looking after the practice. I believe she's got another doctor there, and it's going to be the Highlands Rural Health.
Could you just repeat what you said then? Morton
Yeah, it's been for a while. The Meg's taken it over. Dr. Meg has was working with the board. Yeah. She's just taken it over.
Oh, okay.
Name change, that's all.
Thank you.
And so that's minutes number 11, number 11.1. Receivable draft minutes will be meeting 15th of March. Moody, please. Councillor Honour. Second of Councillor Campbell. Those four.
Just subject to the typo I mentioned.
Subject to the typo, where?
Item 3.1, Mrs. Adam Wilson.
Mrs. Adam.
Was it Mrs.
Okay, no, so those four, the motion.
That was the news.
Anyone against? That is carried. Thank you. 11.2, confirmation draft minutes ordinary meeting of the 15th. Move please. Councillor Bailey, seconder. Councillor Honour. Those four. For any against, that's carried. Thank you. Receivable of the draft minutes possible by Centennial Workforce. Councillor Campbell is moved. Second by Councillor Honour. Four against, that is carried. Receivable draft minutes planning meeting. Those four, Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Cassidy, four, against, that is carried. 12 is business arising, you have a list there, 13 Dillon Patson project, and it would be good if the Working Services Manager passes on from Council. What a wonderful job, I believe it was Karen in the planning stand at Gretna Memorial, Jason. Beautiful job. And we have the Dillon Patchman Project monthly report to be received and to be tabled. Councillor Honour, you're moving that?
Yes.
Seconder? Councillor Bailey? Four? Against? Carried? Finance reported, move it please. Councillor Four? Councillor Campbell? Four? Against? Carried. You would have read the finance report, and if there's any questions about that, we ask our finance manager, David Doyle, who is at the council office, to receive any polls, questions. Any other questions to do with finance? All good? Okay. 15, Development and Environmental Services. In accordance with Regulation 251, the Local Government Planning Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor advises that the Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning Improvements Act 1993 to deal with the following items. I move, please. Councillor Connor, seconder. Councillor Four. Four. And carried. So we move into 15.1, and it is subdivision 18 Patrick Street, Botwell. Did you need to talk to that, Louisa? No, it's pretty much straight forward. We did discuss this.
I'll move the recommendation there, but we don't need to talk about it.
No, I'll speak on it, ma'am.
Who was that? Councillor Cassidy and David. Okay.
That's recommendation one.
So recommendation one was moved. Is it option one?
Option one, yeah.
Option one. Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Bailey. Very good. Those four, that recommendation. Is there anyone against? Very good. Alrighty. What's the next one? Replacement of window fence when the board's that one. Does that need any discussion, Louisa? No? Okay. So do we have a move for that?
Yeah, I'd like some discussion. This is the cottage that was
brought up. This is the cottage?
Yeah. I've got some concerns, I guess, that it seems to me that the cottage itself isn't heritage listed, but it is a heritage precinct. And that's the reason for not supporting the request for it to be clad alternatively to Weatherboard. And I can think of numerous other examples where there haven't been objections made, but it has been approved. Another stretch of Bottle, which were simply on the other side of the road. And I think council needs to give serious consideration as to whether that's an equitable outcome. And in my view, I think we should exercise a discretion in this case and consider that a suitable cladding, which wouldn't be timber but would look like Weatherboard, might be promoted as an alternative and try and meet the request of the ratepayer halfway, for instance.
So we discussed this at the planning committee meeting in Lynn, and I thought it was the option two between, and it was.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we've got the recommended recommendations from the planning committee that we approve option two, which is slightly altered condition, so yeah. That the cladding has to be to the satisfaction of the general manager. So it hasn't been approved or disapproved, we've just got to get the general manager to say, well, this is just sort of good enough.
Yep.
So it's not.
I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to support that from there, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was a basically almost a prohibition.
No, it's just let's see what it looks like.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I'm happy to go along with that.
That's right.
And I don't think there's anything to be gained by forcing someone into a high price.
No, exactly. I think one of council's roles is to assist people where there is a grey area between precinct as opposed to a heritage listing, and this is the area where we should be looking at exercising discretion.
Given the fact there was a representation, that's
absolutely.
And so it's option two with the conditions as you would say.
So the rest of that's been approved, except the replacement of the windows on Weatherboard is depending on satisfaction of the
engineering. Perfect, thank you. No, that's really well written, thank you.
Yeah, so you moved that, Councillor
Orr? I'll move that.
I'll set the discussion.
Councillor Cassidy. Cassidy second, those for that motion. Is there anyone against that motion?
Can we talk about this, Matt, please?
It's removed. Second, yes.
I have a few concerns with regard to this application, in as much as that the applicant put in an application to put in a container some years ago, which was council approved. They said that the container had to be a certain distance off of the boundary. And there are other requirements which require the container to be painted. I walked past there yesterday, that container is still, has been moved, however, it has not been painted, and this has not adhered to the requirements of the original application. So, are we going to be in the same situation with regard to this kind of thing?
Can we just have one conversation, please?
That's all I'm going to say. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Chesapeake is part of the original application, so I think until she has done it, we shouldn't be approving anything further.
Councillor Arnold, then I'm going to ask the planner a question.
Okay. They have 2 years to do in the DA to do it. 2 years is not up yet. The paint has been purchased plus the spray gun to be done over east, but she's got someone coming to help her do it because she can't use spray paint and that because of her breathing conditions.
Oh, thank you, Councillor. Okay. So I think you've just answered what I was going to ask for a reason. We
still move through with the option version.
So we can only consider the DA position in front of us.
The what, sorry?
The development application.
Yes.
I have made note of the painted container, and that is that will actually have to be an enforcement matter. But it may be that the applicant is looking to receive the second container and paint them both container colour, which is a condition in the permit.
Okay. Any other questions before I put the motion up? Maybe different days. All right, it was moved by Councillor Wright, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Those for the recommendation. Is there anyone against? That is passed. Carried. Continue. Rightio. Next one. 15.3. Visitor accommodation, Craig Spark.
Madam Mayor, you have my
reading. I mean, this one's been passed, but be aware, councillors, that we've got another application that is sitting on the table now that was advertised, but no objections to, in High Street, which is in a heritage precinct, which the owner has already purchased the colour bond materials to replant and put our window windows in.
That's just a bit of extra information, as it's not on the agenda.
No, but be aware of it.
Thank you. Okay, okay. It is great to see residents, ratepayers trying to improve their homes, and just to be sure of where we go with our planner. So we rely very heavily on our planner with this sort of advice.
Can I speak,
Mayor? Sure.
Yes.
In relation to the other application, yes, that an application has been made and the permit was issued last week, the same conditions as the one that we're looking at today. And since last Tuesday, we have received a letter looking at the feasibility of alternative materials, and that is ready for the GM.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. 15.3.
Yeah, just on that matter, I imagine the GM will be consulting you about it, though, won't you? Well, that would be the normal course of action. The GM will be consulting the planner and all this.
The what?
The GM will be consulting our planner and all this to make sure it's all clean.
Oh, certainly,
how
so?
If I can through the chair, that is usually the process that takes place. So exactly. The condition we put in there is to follow the process, so it does go to the general manager.
Yeah.
But obviously the expertise that is the other department,
exactly.
So it just gets handled back again.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be coming back here again,
yep,
to put it back to the council to make that decision.
Yep.
Thank
it's
you.
All
about process.
Sorry, one final thing.
Sure.
Obviously, there was a representation received on the Denniston Road development application, and representatives have the right to appeal the council's decision within 15 days, just to make council aware.
And the appeal goes to council, or it goes straight to Rampa?
Goes to Tasman.
Just to add to the discussion of the town itself, the history of it, and Cathy took me on it, was back in the early days of Bothwell and the Hamilton councils when the planning schemes were set back then. This issue of the precinct itself has just been a carry on from them. So when we did the planning scheme, I think in 94, and then we had the interim planning one in 2015. So these were carried ones that carried over. And to try and tidy it up, as in such with you've got your heritage buildings, which are entirely different, but the actual code that covers those areas,
to try and go through, and you can understand people as why there's light base on it, and that sort of thing. To get that removed off of it is a long process that takes, you know, reports and, you know, money, hours, and that type of thing to do that. So it's just unfortunate that that has just been a legacy of other planning schemes where it sits. So people get a bit frustrated in that because of, prime example of Wes's place, which is he wants to tidy that one up. On his side of the street, it's Heritage Precinct. And on the other side of the street, Jace Branch has just built a whopping great coloured bond shed that didn't even require paper as such. You know, so you can understand that frustration with the community on that. But, you know, I mean, if you want to try and tidy up that, it's something that consideration council might give, but it's a long process of going through to try and change that.
Yeah,
okay.
Cassidy? Yes. So, you know, we've put before Damien our plan. We've got a plan for the town, or for the towns, and for the municipality, and I think that's probably an appropriate time that we could use to tidy some of these issues up. But I think that we could look to other municipalities or towns within Tasmania that have handled it very well. The mix of buildings, heritage, and more modern. And I look at those ones as just an example. I think that it's a tough one. But I think that you know, through planning, as we work through planning and the new planning local provisions and the plan for the future of our towns within our municipality, I think that all of these things will work out eventually.
Thank you. Councillor Campbell?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think when we're considering all these applications and situations, we need to consider the aesthetics of history, and we also need to consider the aesthetics of what makes someone look after their place to the best of their ability. How some buildings may not use traditional products, but they can make their place look neat and tidy, and they appear to be house proud, and you drive through the town and their modern additions to those houses don't draw attention to them, and then there's other old houses falling down that haven't been cared for that draw attention to themselves for all the wrong reasons. It's a complex issue, and I think it's a work in progress that we have to take into consideration in the future.
Yes, I think it's very important, as I said, I similar to you actually, it's good to see improvement. People caring for their homes. Okay, so who did we get to move that?
Deputy Mayor Allwright and Councillor Cassidy.
Those four that recommendation.
Stop all was already done.
Yeah. I didn't put it through to Carrick.
Ah, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Carrick. 15.3, visitor accommodation Crown Star. This was also discussed in length at the planning meeting with representatives present. Yep, so is there any comments? I'll put the motion. Recommendation was for.
To approve the report of the recommendation of.
Option one or two of it, huh? Oh, okay, it was, yeah, to approve in accordance with recommendation in accordance with section 57 of the Land Use Planning and Approval Act 1993, the Planning Authority approved the development application for visitor accommodation, 3 units. At 1 Crown's Bay, to another Crown's Bay, subject to conditions in accordance with recommendations.
as I say, was discussed in length. Do I have a motion for the recommendation? Councillor Cassidy moves. A seconder? Councillor Ford second. Okay, Ford. Is there any against? Myself. I do have reasons. Look, I've spent a lot of time reading this, and there are some things that I'm not comfortable with, so I'm uncomfortable if I approve. So I cannot support this. It'll be one unit, yes, three. I can't accept that, so I'm against.
Are you concerned, Mayor? Would you like to voice?
Oh, well, I could. I've got a fair few here. I did stay at the planning meeting, and I felt there was areas where I don't believe we have got enough information. Like, it's a large-scale visitor centre. It had impact on residents. Their invasion of privacy, the environment, the waterways. Apparently there'll be some trouble with grey water, may end up in the Great Lakes. Emergency services, it'll have an impact on emergency services, impact on the state of our roads, and the roads are pretty dangerous up that way. Oh my God, I could go on.
Your feeling is a lot of that might be handled within the approvals process?
I'm concerned, yeah. The applicant indicated that a management plan, including emergency procedures, will be developed. But I would rather cite that plan first, an emergency procedures and a management plan, prior to supporting it. So, as I say, I did read it, and that is my view.
The main thing, Mayor, it is a permitted development, so...
Yes.
If we didn't approve it, we'd be subject to litigation.
Yes, and I think that's where a lot of things, for want of a better word, frighten counts, because we think, oh, we're going to end up in court and it's going to cost us a lot of money.
If councils don't like this style of development, change the planning scheme. So
we can't do it.
But we've got to pass that process, pass the time.
And I'm entitled to my vote as well.
What can it do with the roads, if you don't mind me asking that?
Well, I'm not a roads person, so that's not to discuss.
What did you just say about the... something concerning the roads, and then we go?
Oh, I said about the impact of traffic on the roads, and the roads are, fairly dangerous, apparently there's ditches and things.
But this wouldn't make any difference.
I'm not in a debate. I'm giving you my reasons as you requested.
Right.
Councillor
Cassidy. Well, I just want to answer.
Yes, so, Madam Mayor, as I have discussed or pointed out during the planning scheme, I went through this with a fine-tooth comb, and I could not find any technical error, any reason for this should be knocked back, and it fully complies with the planning scheme. I know there's some heartfelt feelings out there for the area, but again, they don't relate to the planning scheme.
Yeah,
fair enough. Councillor Ford. Mayor, you made the decision that you are against the proposal.
Yep.
There are councillors and yourself sitting around the table. Nothing that you have indicated to us is against the Planning Act and the actual DA.
Yes.
If the rest of us around the table took that attitude and said we don't want this because of certain reasons and we voted against it, it would be appealed and would cost council a lot of money.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, I find it hard to understand your position on this.
Well, my position, and that's it. Thank you. Okay, so, those four, against, myself. Thank you. Go through it.
Four.
Oh,
well, that's...
prone area in that.
Ah, here it is, let me in. 15.4, bushfire prone area mapping. Council has received a letter from the Executive Director of Consumer Building and Occupation Services, who has advised the following. So you will all have that there to read. It was sent by Ned Ryan, is that correct, Adam?
Yes, yes.
Do you have any comments on it?
No, no, provided Brian. Look, if you're with it, you'll make a comment.
This issue has been put to council before when we started the local provisions. It's some other councils took the advice and they put it through their interim planning schemes. The reason being is there was the confusion of if someone was building in a certain area, designers were saying it was in a bushfire prone area. Building surveyors were saying, well, how do you know that? Because there wasn't any mapping and you know, just going on those expertise. So to try and bring everything into line with everyone, so Tasfire went out and did this mapping all over Tasmania. The Central Highlands is basically all bushfire prone areas. Unfortunately, this is going to have an impact on anything that anybody wants to build. It's extra costs, it's whatever. But they're saying they want us to go through now and put it through the interim planning scheme, but we held fast on it before, where we said, well, by the time that goes through, with the, it's got to go out to consultation with the public and whatever it is, we might as well just sit back and wait for the Tasmanian one to come in, which is proposed, it'll just sit in there anyway. So, I mean, it's for discussion. Do we do that, or we just sit back and say, well, we're not going to be involved, we might as well just wait for it to run its course and go through. I think Louisa might want to add a little bit to that as well.
Yeah,
which is, it moved out of planning the legislation and the requirements under the building, moved into the Building Act. So in 99.9% of the cases, a building surveyor anyway will ask the designer to have a bushfire hazard management plan and bill assessment done anyway, without this map, because it's a requirement under the building.
I've been lobbying by a number of ratepayers about concerns about the bushfire mapping and plans and in country areas in particular, but also the impacts of streets in Brockton, where one side would be compliant and another would be required higher. I think there's still some more lobbying and work to be done, and suggest that at this stage we just keep sitting around there and keep the status quo.
Okay. Yep. Okay, there was full discussion. Any other discussion around the table? No? Okay, we'll move on. 15.5, transition to private building surveyors. Brian.
Thanks, well, as councillors are aware, for the last, I've been here 15 years, then there was Leon Guinness before me. And council has supplied in-house building surveying here. I do believe when the Hamilton was over there, David Goody was probably a building inspector then, but in-house type of situations. So let's roll forward to now, which building surveyors are now private. Okay, it's turned into an industry, they're sort of private building surveyors. Councils used to have them. We are now only one in the three that still have private building surveying, one being Launceston, the bigger one. Now there's the North West Coast. Now, what's happened is over the years, most councils have transitioned into private building surveying. The reason being is that there was just hundreds of old files, basically building files that sit, and because of councils not having the capabilities of people to deal with those older files and the new ones coming on the time, it's just a ball that's rolling. Okay. So, and because of the way things have changed, used to be a lot of owner builders. There's not so many owner builders now because they've got to go through courses and all this type of thing. And private building surveyors will not do owner builders anymore, but they just won't do owner builders because of liabilities. And you find, with my dealings of owner builders in the Central Highlands, is it's always so hard to get compliance to work because you're dealing with people that aren't professionals in that industry. And this is why there's a shift away from any building surveyors actually taking own builders. You take a builder on, a builder has a contract, and the contract is basically 12 months, 2 years to finish a job for a person. So it's done professionally, it's done quickly when they get materials there. But it is gets to the stage where the building surveyor has to have liabilities, and it's big money now for those to get insurances. Most of them have gone from $20,000 a year to $100,000 a year because of liability insurances to do that. So they only deal with licensed builders. The job's done, it's signed off, it's done professionally, and away it goes. We have, over the last 15 years, I've dealt with files that have been 25 years old, to try and get to compliance. And as we talk about the bushfire stuff, some of the areas they're in is just like trying to work with that to get it up to a certain standard and that type. So Lee Tyers has worked with us for 14 years. He's got insurance that covers himself. He's contracted with us. He works as a contractor. He carries his own insurance, not council is insured. His own insurance that covers all these old files, and he's done for over the years, and we've still got 50 odd files to finish. Okay. He indicated some months ago that he was going to pull the pin to say basically, I'm no longer going to do council's building surveying, you'll need to get another building surveyor. Now, to go out and try and get another building surveyor to take over people's work and the liabilities, again, is next to nil. Reason being is we've had old files that we've actually said your permits run out, we're not going to touch it anymore. Go and get a private building surveyor. We've tried to get private building surveyors and it's like, no, I'm not doing it. Try another one. It just steamrolls. So we have some files that have had occupancy issued and not completion, and the occupancy was given 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so it sits there. So we've got some that sit on files that the permit has been expired, it sits there. Letter has been indicated that this is where it is. If you want to go out and get it finished or you can't finish, that's it. It sits there. It sits there. Okay. So what I'm working towards is, as from the first of the new financial year, we will cease to do in-house building surveying as such. So anything that we have got from the first backwards, council will honour. Lee has indicated that he will stay with us for the next 2 to 3 years and honour anything that has the Central Highlands logo on it with his signature on it as the building surveyor, but nothing after that. So he will honour that, so we can go through and tidy up ones that come into them, okay? New ones like last week, I will still do the inspections on them, we will be the building surveyor on those. But anything from that day afterwards, it will be, sorry, we do not do it, here's a list of building surveyors you need to ring up, you need to do blah, blah, blah. We need to transition through to the future, like all the other councils have done, because if changes happen, I leave, someone else leaves, someone's got to be coming in and go, well, this is how it works. Not, we need to pick up all these old files again and try and deal with it. It's just, it's not the way to go. The future of the council is into changing, and there's a new system coming in that councils will be using, that applications coming for planning and all that type of thing, which is everything online. You can keep a track of where everything is. So if we don't make this move, and Lee said, nah, that's it, I'm going to pull the pin, we will not get anybody else in to do it. We just need to transition through, still look after what we've done, send out the letter to say this is, your application is at this stage, you need to finish it by this stage, or we can give you one more extension for 12 months, but then it has to be done by a certain thing. So,
is it worth, you know, exploring with other suppliers? See if they would take it.
Look, my being in the industry and talking to others, prime example, Lee Ties had just finished with Norfolk. He'd stayed with them for nearly 2 years again to clean theirs up. There were still some old ones to do, and he said, nah, that's it, I'm drawing the line in the sand, I've got to finish. Derwent Valley rang up another building surveyor, which I won't say who it is, that said, yes, we'll commit to get those cleaned up. He was supposed to start on a Wednesday, and he rang up on a Tuesday and said, no, it's changed my mind. It's because of the liabilities with taking over someone's files, should I say? Because you can go, you can have a file, but then you can go out and do an inspection on something, and there might be a note in there that says, I'll re-inspect. Re-inspect what? You know, things like that. It's that they're frightened to be sued, building surveyors, and it's happened, and they are frightened to be sued.
We have Councillor Cassidy
and Laura. Graham, so I would like to find out this change, how will it affect development within our municipality?
Sorry.
This change that you have coming as 1st of July, how will this affect development within the municipality?
It won't affect it at all. If people want to develop, they'll develop. It's just that the culture is changed. The methodology of private building surveyors and councils dealing with private building surveyors, that started 10 years ago, 15 years ago when private building surveyors was to take that away from councils, and councils basically deal with the compliance part of things, which is there a legal building works, is there this and that type of thing. But the actual days of someone having the expertise that came out of being a builder themselves and went into council as an inspector and all that type of thing, that's just gone. It's changed. What we're having in the Central Highlands, even up around the lakes, are people that are coming from the mainland that just, that's the way they do it. It's private building surveyors. They come over here and that's the way they do it. They know what needs to happen and that type of thing. It's just that I'm looking for the future, that we just need to make that transition somewhere, and we've got the opportunity now because we've got the number down from 200 down to 50 odd, where we can go get it to that stage in 2 years' time, where Central Highlands, as being liable for all that building works, that type of thing, and now they're free of it, and everything is that private, and all you're doing is, we still do the plumbing, because that's the permit authority, we still do the plumbing, compliance, and the issuing of permits. The issuing of building permits isn't taken away from the council either. There's a lot of notifiable work, they call it now, because what's happened is the building surveyors have got more savvy, as into, well, I'm not going to check it's a full permit because that has to go to council. It's a house, but instead of it going to council, it's notifiable works that they look after, but the council doesn't have to issue a permit. They still have to notify the council it's been built as a house or a dwelling or whatever it is, but the council don't have to issue a full permit. The building surveyors take that over, like what's happening with plans, where are no permit required. You can take your plans to a planner and go do I require planning approval. Well, if it ticks all the boxes, no you don't. So they just send that to the council saying here's a house going to be built here but it doesn't require a permit. The same with the building surveyors that says, well, that plan has come to me, it doesn't require a full permit from the council, they just notify the council again. We're becoming paper collectors and compliance office. Yeah.
Thank you, Graham, that was quite extensive. Councillor Orr, in court.
I accept that we should move to what's the word, the industry best practice. Is any value in starting at the end of this month? Like, what's going to happen that's going to roll in here on the 30th of June? 30th of June, what's going to roll in the
30th of June? I've just set that date to be a
Are you happy with that date, or should we say 30th of April?
Oh, that's just one I plucked out because it was a financial year.
Yeah.
That'll give us time to get into our records to pick out the files because everyone's different, but also to get some advertising out there and that, you know, to say that central office.
Yeah, so we should do it.
So it's given us that time.
So we ought to start. So what do you want someone to move a recommendation?
Councillor Paul's been asking to speak.
I'm just going to move a recommendation.
Councillor Paul move it and I'll second.
All right, Councillor Paul move the recommendation. Councillor Paul second, goes forward. Is there anyone against? Councillor Archer is against. Did you want to speak to that, Councillor Archer?
Yeah, I just would like to explore the possibilities. I think given that Graham said it's quite valid to get it, but it's a service that we currently provide. I love the idea of the corporate memory staying within council for it. I think these services we do on a regular basis are very helpful. It's one thing we can do to ratepayers, and I presume that we're getting a better rate than if people just went off and not quite it themselves. So I'd just like to see it continue if we can do it. And I'm sure what I'm saying is true. We may find it difficult, but I think it is worthwhile exploring before we abandon the service just to see if someone else can take it on.
Look, if I can add there too, for a little bit of information, it's always been a contention with private building surveyors because council has been undercutting, they call it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't make money out of building surveying. We supply a service, and that was always that contentious thing with building surveyors are taking work away from them. A couple of months ago, I made application to the Justice Department and CBOS. I've been in the building industry all my life and been doing building surveying, plumbing surveying for the last 15 years. So I asked for recognition under the old grandfather clause. I had references from building surveyors to send in my own spiel and they knocked me back. They said I hadn't actually done the course as a building surveyor, and my words were, well, no, I haven't. That's why I'm applying for the grandfather course. So they knocked me back on that, but they said I could appeal or I could go and do the course, which is, normal. So my other option was Lee Tye's building surveyor has Gary Lorcan that works for him. Gary and I have had a relationship through work for the last 13 years he's been there. Gary had 30 years at Ewan Valley Council as the building inspector for 30 years down there. So he got the grandfather clause when they swapped away from into private building surveying. So he actually got his licence as a building surveyor. So it was away from an inspector to a building surveyor. So Gary's close to retiring, but he still does work for Lee a couple of days a week, one day a week and that sort of thing. So I said to Gary, how about you work for us? Come and work for us for 3 years under the council umbrella as building surveyor, like same thing Leon McGuinness was. So he rang up CBOS and CBOS said, no, you can't do it. You haven't done the course. You're not a building surveyor. You haven't got the ticket to say you're a building surveyor. Your licence is issued only to work under the umbrella of a building surveyor. So after 30 odd years of him doing that job and 14 years of Lee Tye's, he can't come and work for council.
Okay.
But what you're saying is that the chance of getting anyone else
is
pretty low.
If you've got someone, it might be a junior that's just done the course out of university, mate, and had no experience whatsoever outside.
Yeah, we'll end up with someone with none.
So what we're, you know, I'm not going anywhere, and I know what we've got out there and what needs to be done to get it tidied up. It doesn't mean that we don't still, when a building surveyor sends something in, as a permit authority, you can still look at it. If you can see something's not right, you've got the authority to actually go, no. So you can still look at situations where you can still see what's going on, but it is, yeah, the transitions, it's coming, so.
Councillor Cassidy, and now I'll put the vote.
Graham, what if council, on council's dime, sent you to get the course and get your certification as a surveyor?
I'm like wine, mate.
Pardon?
I've got fine, but I'm not. It's nearly empty in the bottle. Look, I half did it, and the setup under TAFE Tasmania at that time was just, it was like banging your head against the wall. And I wasn't the only one. At that time, there was three or four buildings. I know Phil Krause, same thing, just went, he chucked it in the world. It was just too hard. Look, if you're a whiz-bang kid that's coming, you know, and they do it through university, they're just knocking them out like that, mate, but they've got no experience.
I'd just like to give a similar example where the state government 10 years ago brought legislation in where every dam needed to be inspected in the state, and because of under-resourced and really the department, none have taken place. In the last 12 months, oh gosh, we're in trouble, we haven't done this. And so I think John Mike Rams, you'll mind me speaking out of school, but he was quoted nearly $10,000 to do a survey on both these dams that have been built under permit by engineers in the last 5 years. And but basically, he's done everything by the book. It's a very recent build, but again, in what I consider to be very high fee. And then the question is, what if they find something? Because then it becomes very expensive. And so he has gone to the TFGA, which I sit on the Water Committee, and the TFGA are now looking at contracting out those services for its members, and we're hoping that we'll be able to provide significant discounts, and so that, you know, here's 30 dams to inspect on one. Come and do the district this week on behalf of members to get the cost down. And that's the sort of thing that I would have in mind, that you know, if we can offer that service to ratepayers, and I'm not disputing that at all, but I think it's worth exploring, simply because, you know, I don't like seeing council services wound back if they're not going to cost us too much, and we can still provide the service that we have done. So it's just an alternative point of view, I guess.
I think I'll support Anthony on that. So
yes. Okay, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from as well, Councillor Archer.
I haven't been able to find anyone.
Our worst scenario would be that Lee Tyres just says that's it, I'm finishing, but he's given me a commitment for 2 years to help our community, to clean up what we've got, and then it's from the first is all private buildings apart. That's it. After that, we still do the planning, we still do the plumbing and that type of thing, and whatever we have to do, and we're paper collectors, basically.
Well, the current recommendation I'll put to the table, it was moved by Councillor Paul, seconded by Councillor Allwright, and I'll just record the pause and again, so we have an accurate record. So we go around the table, Councillor Allwright, obviously, for. Correct?
Yep.
Councillor Four is for because he moved it. Councillor Archer?
No, Mayor, I'd like to see us explore our options first, but probably end up the same place.
Councillor Archer against. Councillor Honour? Four is for. Councillor Cassidy?
I'm against.
Against. Councillor Bailey?
Four.
Four. Councillor Campbell?
I'm for.
Four. And myself, I'd like to see more exploration too on the game. So there's against this Councillor Archer, Trooper and Cassidy. So obviously it's Archer.
COVID update. Does anybody want to hear about COVID?
No, I can't. No, thank you.
Any motion, Adrian?
I thought I was reading the agenda, but I'm sorry. Relax. Thank you, Graham. 15.6.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been in touch with the AHO and obviously through Graham as well to keep up to date with all COVID information. Graham, would you like to speak to that or be good with what we have here?
I think we're good with what we have there. I didn't even, sorry, I haven't downloaded to see what Bev's put in the yellow on the work, but I trust Bev to keep us all updated on that.
Yeah, she's done a good job.
And I think we should thank Bev for keeping us up to date. She's very good.
Bev's a little not well at the moment. Tony's looking after Bev, but it's his turn to look after her, so.
Oh, okay. I'd like to record it that I thank Bev for her support and all she's doing.
She is. And just on that, Mayor, the councils are still happy to have Bev working from home. We're in touch with her all the time, and that's why she's in that vulnerable group. So, you know, I mean, if it gets too much for her, I'm sure she'll say. But at the moment, it's nothing to ring her up on any days, even though she only works one day a week, because Tony's shouting in the background, but it's not a day she's working.
I hope President
will leave that here. Okay,
she's contactable, so
yes,
all the time.
Yes. So, in relation to that Cramps Bay development, you had mentioned the involvement of the environmental health officer. So,
the what? Sorry, I couldn't get that.
The Cramps Bay development actually mentioned the involvement of the environmental health officers' participation and inspection. So, as long as that's covered.
Okay. 15.7 Waste Levy and Resource Recovery. That was a report from the Mayor.
So those monetary is at the bottom. They've already been talked about in our budget.
Yep.
So they've been put aside in the budget. So. Mm-hmm.
So 5,000 for budget and training, don't you have that anyway?
There could be other of waiving.
And record keeping, wouldn't you have record keeping anyway? Oh. Look, anyway, doesn't matter.
So what's the answer to the question?
It's actually an extra 5,000.
Only permanent issue. Order.
Councillor
Honour. I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. Second Councillor Ford. Four. Any games? Favourite. Thank you. Will be good. In the year's report, puppy dogs and so forth, 15.8. There was one puppy dog on Friday caught on the highway at Hamilton.
Actually, there were a couple of dogs put in the pound, Jace, if we move those ones on.
Could I?
No more today.
Sorry, Pete.
Two more today?
No, I really found that
there
was
going to be
moved on
today.
There was
a dog over in the park.
Okay.
Where were they being?
Strickland Road. The dogs, they were put on Facebook and all that sort of thing, and no one, it's very strange, no one sort of answers Facebook. But anyway, they'll go to nice homes.
So there were two in the pound.
They've gone today.
No, they've gone today.
Okay, very good. Works and
services,
well
done,
Jason.
I think
that's me. I'm worn out.
Thank you,
Brian.
Thank you, Councillor. You've worn us out. Oh. It's worn out.
Good afternoon, Colin.
Thank you,
Brian.
For Works and Services.
I'll move
that now. Thank you. Second by Councillor Honour, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Honour, those for the services. Thank you again. All good. 16.1
is Tasmania 2022. Did you want to
comment on that,
Jack? I suppose everyone's had a chance to read the letter that council has sent. I would suggest that council still work at the last meeting. Council give permission to Tiger that we had no concerns with the race going ahead with the now municipality. I recommend that we still proceed with that. It is on a state road, and that stage is from Brady's to Tarralee. So there's no residents along that actual road as well.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty, 16.2, capital plant replacement,
over the area. So yes, we did put in the budget for the replacement of the sidearm slasher. That was a quote. The price that was in the budget, budget deliberation time, was an actual quote that I received from a company in relation to the purchase of a new slasher, but obviously during then, since steel prices and COVID and whatnot, the prices considerably jumped. We are starting to spend a bit of money on the existing one. I've put an estimated value in there of what we're going to receive for the existing slasher, between 15,000 to 20,000. We might make it more than that, but yeah, the recommendation is to allocate the extra funds and go ahead and purchase the sidearm slasher.
Thank you. That was moved by Councillor Bailey. Second.
Oh, just a question. But how's it, what the sale cost to get on the old one, how's that treated? Because if you got 20,000 for it, we've got 80 in the budget already. It cost 100 to buy.
How's that work? Because I think I would have put a estimated value in the budget for...
Yeah, you put an estimated value in and then that's topping up the estimated value. So hopefully the trading may offset it.
Yeah.
So effectively the extra 18,000 is just a square of the books rather.
Yeah, so it could be, and I'll put it at auction. I think that seems to be the best thing for all our existing plant now. You know, utes are input at auction, just so that at this stage we get more money for them.
So that was moved by Councillor Bailey, second by Councillor Campbell, those four. Is there any gains? That is carried. Very good. 16.3, electronic scoreboard, looking very nice.
Yeah, so that's just for information, Madam Mayor. And I must commend and congratulate, I think, the outside workforce of late. Just some of the infrastructure, some of the things that the guys have built and undertaken. Like, I reckon it's amazing the staff that you've got. Barry Harbeck and Kelvin Triffitt, who built this frame, and the footbridge down to Croker's Alley. It's amazing, really. I think very clever, very lucky to have staff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we are, they have saved council money in these projects, not a huge amount, but the availability to get a contractor to be able to come and do it at the moment is very, very, yeah, it's not existent. So I'd just like to take the time to, and just in general, their maintenance on the roads and everything at this time, everyone. And, you know, we are under-resourced and we do have a small workforce, and even with COVID and close contacts and obviously staff having COVID, and to be able to continue to work and maintain, you know, the high unsealed network that we have, I think it's a credit to it.
And I think we should, as council, send commend the workforce for what you've said.
Yep.
And what they are doing, and get you to address that, or
yeah, look,
that
yeah.
might be the way to go, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's always nice coming from council as well. Yeah. Yeah. So,
thank you very much.
Just to add on that, the flagpoles at Gretna.
Yeah.
We've got 101 things going on, and that was late in organising them. I wasn't able to get them here before Anzac Day, so a couple of the guys decided to build some for down there, and we spoke to who we need to speak to in regards to where they want them located. And I've just said three, you probably won't see it. But there's the flagpoles, great job today at Gretna. They're up ready for Anzac Day that the boys have done. So it's another project out of the way that, you know, they've done, so really good.
We can also commend you for the work you do, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Yeah, no, it's been...
We'd like that record. Councillor Cassidy, and then Councillor Ford.
Do you think it would be appropriate, Jason or Madam Mayor, to send the workers a letter, a formal letter of thank you?
Absolutely. I think, like I said, especially Kelvin and Barry, the last two projects that I've undertaken with the work on the Croker's Alley footbridge and the scoreboard frame, but in general, all the workforce, absolutely. Like, it's been trying times for them as well, and, you know, we've got such a large area and a lot of infrastructure and a lot of assets to maintain, and you know, they do a good job.
So the council are happy if we draft a letter and send a letter through, they can put it up in their work room?
Yep, absolutely.
Probably need a motion to that.
Make a motion that we send a thank you letter to that staff. And can we include all staff?
Absolutely.
Admin staff as well, because they support the work staff.
Yeah, and sorry, council, I'm only because I suppose manage the outside workforce, that's absolutely.
Did you second that, Councillor Paul?
I just think, Mayor, that we should send an individual letter to each member of the staff, internal and external, just thanking them for what they've done. It's been extremely hard for them, especially with COVID and understaffing and so on and so forth. But it doesn't just apply to Jason's team, it applies to all of our staff. And I think we should acknowledge what they've done and give them thanks.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
does
council
feel about an individual letter?
Yeah.
Well, that was my intention, to send those guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Councillor Paul, I've got you down.
Well, don't you think I should have moved that?
That was all I'd say to that. I'll probably have to move that motion.
Councillor Campbell moved, did you second it?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Councillor Archer.
Yeah, just whilst we were discussing capital matters with the slash on things, we did suggest earlier that for the next budget workshop that we look at either buying another tractor or slashing.
Yep.
I've since sought advice from Jason about the best way to proceed next season, and perhaps it might be more financially beneficial to us to simply look at engaging someone on an ongoing basis for that period, because otherwise, you know, we've got to have staff set aside to mow and all those sort of things. Just for the next budget, when we're doing our review, to look at getting a slasher in on an annual basis or just a peak period to allow the work to be undertaken in a timely manner.
That's the supplement.
Supplementary to exactly
what. Yeah, and that's, I think that was raised in a previous council meeting.
It was.
And that council has given the permission for me to seek those contractors. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously you struggle to get a contractor because everyone wants a slasher at that time of year, but if you can say, you know, might be $20,000 worth of work, you pick out, you know, prioritise some roads, what you want made to undertake, and then you contract that work out, then you can guarantee that you'll have them come that time of year. So it's something we can do.
State's right, you've got plenty of people
to flash around and might be. Yeah, no, I mean, if you guarantee that there's X amount of dollars worth of work, then, and you put it out for contract and tender it, then you'll get someone on. Yeah.
Those fair chance.
Okay, any other questions for Jason or comments? No?
You know, since we're talking about slashers and all of that, that stretch along the Highland Lakes Road from Squares Marsh down to Lower Marsh Road, or let's say Daniel Creek.
Yes.
You know, that's pretty well overgrown, you know.
And it is. It is. I think you raised that before, Councillor Cassidy, and I have contacted them in regards to that. So there's not a lot I can do. We're not the road manager of that road, so I mean they would have it in a maintenance program, and when that's going to be and when they undertake that, I'm unsure. But you know, and I'm sure they'll get to it, but when I couldn't tell you.
Could you remind them?
I can remind them. Yep.
Storyline have actually started doing from the lakes down, and they've done work.
Oh, well, they might be coming down, yeah.
Yeah, there's the amount of work to be done, so they're working, and I'm sure they're this side, you know, of Boston.
Yep.
So they're in the process.
And did we have something about the blue farmer to be reinvested or areas in still 7845? Can we bring that forward and ask Jason assistance?
Yeah.
We've discussed this before, haven't we?
Yeah, it came up before.
Mr. and Mrs. Last year.
What was it, sorry?
I wanted to put in the clothes.
Mr. and Mrs. Poochie.
Can I speak to
you? Can you move the agenda?
Can I move to 17.5 to discuss the blue farmer?
Second by Councillor Arnold.
Yep.
I think this has been discussed because it was a spinning project by the spinning committee in conjunction with an artist in residence. It's And it's a tricky one because the spin-in has folded. So the lady that actually built that and whose idea it is, her name is Gretchen. She lives on Bruny Island. I'm not sure if we contact her and ask her if it be removed for the time being, because we were working on another project. And the whole idea behind the Blue Man is to keep people talking about positive mental health and to be looking out for each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know how we go about...
I must have had, just looking back in the, this is November, I'm just checking my emails, is it Gretchen?
Gretchen.
There must have been a motion back in the November meeting.
Yeah, there was. Late last year anyway.
The October meeting, I'd say. And I was going to remove it altogether.
That's the fact.
Yeah, and I think that I had to contact Gretchen in regards to they wanted to be there when we took it down or something, I believe.
Like that.
And not just the correspondence to Gretchen from me was that just to let me know when you want to take it down and we'll arrange the staff to be there.
So was it a council motion back then?
Must have been, yeah, in the October meeting of some sort.
That's the fact.
And then can we have a motion that in the future we discuss how we keep the concept of positive mental health and the whole idea behind this Blue Farmer going and find a new way of...
That was the 2nd of November last year when I contacted Gretchen. So it may have been in the October meeting. What the motion was about the sign, I'm unsure now, but I had to contact her and she must want to be there when it was taken down and they wanted it to be removed altogether.
We'll have the motion carried out from last year, which is remove the Blue Farmer. Two, we will investigate Campbell's possibilities of how we address
the ongoing idea behind what the Blue Farmer was about. Continue with the project of positive mental health and keeping conversation going. So whether we work with Rural Alive and Well or Relationships Australia, collaboratively with lots of people, but we need to, even though this project probably comes to the end, we can keep and work with someone else to continue that project in a different format.
So I might hand all that to you to keep it circulating and come back with some ideas. Whatever Hatch, even Hatch might be interested with people.
Yeah, Hatch is struggling with people on the ground at the moment, but someone like Rural Alive and Well or...
All right, well, we'll do that. And then we need a move to go back to 17.1. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. And that's just for noting, submissions close on 24th of April for the consultation of new Aboriginal cultural heritage legislation.
A mover and seconder?
A mover for that, please. Councillor Honour, second, Councillor Bailey. Those four. Against that is carried. Thanks,
Thanks, Jay.
Very good. 17.2 is the consultation of stage 2 before the disability standards report.
Just for information.
Yes, information. 17.3 is the community grant count drafting. They're asking for 300 over the state finals.
We usually do it every
year. Move, Councillor.
They wanted it on the 9th and 10th of April because it's been held up. So it's a retrospective one.
Moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey, four against, and that amount was 300.
300.
Yep. And then the Hamilton Sharrow Ground.
At the last meeting they wanted us to contribute to upgrade the current building, And right. Now they're looking at trying to get a grant for a new building, so...
They also mentioned maintaining this in one, didn't they?
Yeah. So should we put some money in the budget to maintain the car park? Like,
well, if the wool, the wool people seem to want it to understand it, what.
Yeah. And so does, we're getting a letter that's just come through that will go to the main meeting for using it as a tip shop as well.
So should we hold it over?
So no,
the main meeting. The third to the main meeting?
I'll hold it over until it happens.
So, and the suggestion of having the old building and the new one, you know, so we need to discuss further.
We'll try and find out that a little bit and see how much.
Let's go and check out what needs to be done. Bring it back to the main one.
So do we need a
mover and second? We need to defer. Second up, Councillor Bailey, defer until May meeting.
Yes.
Until May meeting. Okay. And the Blue Farmer we've discussed, 17.6 Local Government Association for promotion. So, our recommendation of councils provide the request for motions by the 26th of April. Move, please. Councillor Honan, seconder. Councillor Ford. Again, that is carried. 24-hour community donations.
That's the community donation.
Oh, yeah. This was received from a lady that's basically struggling, and she's got her son that's participated in the competition. So they're asking for council's help towards a contribution. Councillor,
a proposal and a question. Is anyone aware of any other fundraising going on for this young fellow?
Yes,
thanks, Jim. What school does he go to?
Glenora. And she lives at Ellendale and works in Earth.
Now, this again is a retrospective one.
It is.
It's already been held, but I did worry at the moment. Flights to and from Sydney, $1,000, you should be able to get it for $200.
They're really expensive to go to Sydney.
My word.
Councillor Campbell and Cassidy.
I would move that. I mean, there was a grant at last meeting for a young citizen in the community, I think $500.
You'll move $500.
I'll second that too.
To represent the Central Highlands in the track and field.
That's a good one.
Councillor Cassidy.
I was actually going to suggest $1,000 to cover his flights. I think that would be appropriate, or probably would be more helpful since he's got to raise $3,000.
What's your thoughts on that, Councillor?
Well, I'm thinking he's already been, so they've possibly raised the money and it would just... I'm thinking 500 and...
Cover the middle.
Yeah, I think 500.
500.
And that way, if there are other students, kids come who are also participating at this kind of level, we can afford to do $500 for other...
And can we actually write to him when you do it and say that... interest know whether they raised any money and if they could do them before the event or after the event.
I
tried to ring this lady last night to find out had she had any other sources of getting money,
I'm hearing no, but I'm not positive.
But I couldn't get it.
No, she's working. Okay, so council provided a community donation to Cooper Smythe of $500, moved by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Bailey, those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? That is carried. 17.9 is the draft 4-hour security regulations. Recommendation that councils provide their comments to the general manager by Friday 29th. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy. Seconder, Councillor Honan. Four against, Elias Carey. 17-10, Mary Sweeney, I can see in the
Okay, information.
That was just for information. Keep you all in the loop. 17.11, nominations for local government representatives to state trial commission. Is this the one that Graham and Jason are on?
No. This is, and that's just for information as well as any council.
17.12, the policy change of councillors. Councillor Cassidy has requested council review the travel allowance for councillors within the policy payment of council's expenses and provision of facilities. There's some information there. Would you want to speak to that, Councillor Cassidy?
Well, I don't know if I need to speak to it. I mean, all I have to do is just look at the price of the petrol or diesel at the Bowser, any Bowser. I mean, it's egregious, and our travel allowance has not increased to reflect that. So
are you asking for a review of that policy?
Yes.
Would you like to move a motion to that effect?
Alright. Sure. Yep. A motion to review the policy. I think, in fact, the allowance should be fluid depending upon the price of fuel, whether it's petrol or diesel. So let's say if it goes down to $1.40, then, maybe we should be getting 50 cents a kilometer. If it goes up to $2, then, maybe we should be getting more. It should be fluid, not just a fixed one.
Did I
have a
second for that?
No, I just want to...
Could I have a second there and then I'll come back?
No, I just want to make a comment.
A second, please. Any seconds?
Yeah, I don't know, I doesn't get lost. Yeah.
Great. Okay, Councillor, all right.
We considered this in January, really. Do we have to go back to it? And the fact is that fuel prices probably start to edge back down probably to within the ballpark of what it was in January. The policy we adopted in January allowed an increase for travelling by 10 cents. I don't think it's fair to go back to ratepayers and say, well, I want to do it again.
Well, since January, the price of petrol has increased 30 cents a litre. So we weren't thinking ahead.
I filled up this morning. The price of petrol is about what it was in January. We voted ourselves an extra 10 cents in January. No, that's fair. We voted ourselves more in March, April.
This rate is calculated. I've got a feeling, I've looked this up before for something else. This is like a nationally accepted travel rate that everyone gets allocated wherever they're working, from my information. For instance, other government agencies or private enterprise, if you're claiming your travel, it's capped. It's a recommended rate. It's also recommended, it's Legat somewhere I read.
But that's recommended from way back when. They're not thinking ahead. I'm suggesting a fluid plan. We should have a fluid plan. So if petrol or diesel goes down to, let's say, $1.40, then our rate should go down. If it goes up to $2 or $2.50, it should go up. That's reasonable. So, you're correct, Anita, that, this is a national rate, but just recently, they thought, maybe we should reduce the fuel excise. But it's still 30 cents more than it was back in January. So
it's for fuel and maintenance, not just fuel.
Yeah. Well, can I just hear if Adam has any comments to help us with this?
Yeah, currently we use the amount that is in the local government award, which is 88 cents. Mm-hmm. And so if the employee came in, That's what, if they use their own car, it's 88 cents. That's what it is. I guess we can go to Legat and we can go to the other councils and see if they're using a different rate. I think if we use the tax rate or the government's tax rate, it's lower than that. So
maybe we should go back to Olga.
Yeah,
we can have the discussion with Legat, and I guess it will continue as time goes on.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go with that?
We can review the policy in line with Olga.
Review the policy in line with Olga? Yeah.
But again, I still feel there should be a fluid plan.
Yeah.
If the cost of fuel goes down, then we should be paid less. If it goes up, we should be paid more.
So, moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Archer, review policy in line with the gap. Those for the motion, is there anyone against it?
I'm against it.
You're against it, Councillor Wilson.
Stay as it is.
Okay, can we against it?
Yeah, I think it just could stay as it is.
Councillor Campbell? Okay. Alrighty, so the motion goes through. 17.13, gambling harm minimisation technologies.
Yeah, just the gambling. So it's just really, if we've got any comments that we'll get back.
Yep. Well, 29th of April, move please. Councillor Honour. Senator, Councillor Campbell. Four. Okay, carry.
And the same with the police amendment.
Move please. The council has provided comments to the acting general manager by Thursday the 14th. Councillor Honour's moved it. Councillor Bailey second. Four. Against that is carried.
Supplementary.
Supplementary was the rest of them, wasn't it?
No, we've got four supplementary.
Oh, which is the supplementary, sorry.
That's the supplementary again.
Oh.
That'd be it, right? It came through the gap from last.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah. 18.1. Oh, could I have a move in supplementary, please? Councillor Paul, Councillor Honour. Four again. Carried. Now we've got 18.1 is the Tasmanian Community Sport and Rec Infrastructure. Recommendation of Council has provided their comments. On Wednesday the 20th, move it please. Councillor Honour, seconder. Is there a seconder? Hello. Councillor Four, against.
We all went together.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. 8.2, nomination for the Waste and Resource Recovery Board.
Just the information for councillors if they wanted to apply for the board.
Rightio, that's the information. 8.3 is automatic mutual recognition scheme for occupational licensing. Adam, can you bring that?
Yeah, and it's just if there's any comments provided by the 20th of April.
Move it, please. Councillor Paul, Councillor Honour, Paul, against, that is carried.
This one, just for information regarding the early engagement of the 10-year salmon plan.
10-year salmon plan, that's for Ludwig Wilson.
Mrs. Wilson?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, must have been on paper.
That's Mrs. Wilson. Okay, that's for information. Anything else?
That's it.
Well done, councillors. We are through.
Lunch
has been
approved. Well done, Mayor.
Oh, good. I thought it'd be